Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside
Senior Airman Zeeshan Naeem.
That's right. Z came back. Welcome back, Z. I know you missed this, right?
Yeah, I do.
Because Sergeant Brosom is still taken away from me, I guess you can say. Z decided to fill in for him, so we appreciate you.
Thank you.
In recent news, I just returned from Red Flag. Have you had the honor of going yet?
I have not, but I've been working on the social media for Red Flag, so I feel like I have a decent understanding. I know we were the lead wing for Red Flag, and it's the second time in the past 12 months of the past year, I guess, that we have been the lead wing for a Red Flag exercise. So it just, I don't know, it's pretty cool. It marks a significant advancement into our mission becoming, or our installation becoming, a ACC Corps.
Yes, it was very interesting to watch that whole process. Like, we have checkered flag, but it's like checkered flag on steroids. And I don't know if it's just because the base is so much bigger than our base right now, and because of all of our construction, we don't have the capability of having that many people in jets, but equally as cool, right? Like, I got to work with a documentary crew. They were doing a British documentary on the British team that was there. I got to work with Australians, and they all thoroughly enjoyed the experience of working with allied partners in air-to-air combat exercises.
Yeah, I feel like one of the greatest things about exercises such as Red Flag and even Checker Flag as well, we have coalition partners working with us. Just getting that teamwork, learning different strategies and techniques that each nation uses, I feel like overall will help strengthen the bond between us and allied nations.
Yeah. And the Nellis team was awesome too. They were very welcoming, and they go through the ringer during a Red Flag. Yeah. I worked primarily with the media team, but even that, I mean, they had, you know, the international news stations coming out covering it. They had the documentary team. They had local news show up. Mm-hmm. It was just pure insanity. But I do know that I never want to move to Nellis Air Force Base now.
I would. I feel like it really depends on where you're at in life. But
me as a person, I enjoy the quieter bases, exactly. You know. But my skin hated Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I was so dry.
It's a dry heat, right?
Yes, it was awful. So sorry, Las Vegas.
Yeah, I definitely saw the products that, you know, our team produced and Nellis team produced. There was some great work.
Yes.
And it just showcased all the generation, or all the sortie generation happening out there, and just getting prepared for in case a real world threat occurs.
Yeah.
We're showcasing our readiness.
The bad guys are in trouble, I'll say that. Yeah. Like, we got our stuff together. I feel like I just got home from that TDY, and February's already gone.
Yep.
Like, I came home the first week of February, it's gone.
It's the shortest month.
It's crazy. I'm not ready. Like, my kids have spring break next month. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Wasn't it just like negative 20 degrees in winter? Like, what's happening?
We got spring break. You know, Panama City gets packed during spring break, so that'll be exciting. Right after that, we have the air show coming up too. So just stay tuned for local events. Tyndall's going to be involved, obviously, with the air show, but there should be some exciting stuff coming up.
Yes, and next month will be a podcast all about the air show with all the acts and where to go, where to park, all the things that you're going to need to know will be on the next podcast. But we want to keep you in suspense because it's going to be really good. Like, the last one was good, but this one's bigger.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting seeing all the tourists and people visiting. Be prepared. Keep that in mind. Air shows from, I think, April 11th through the 12th.
Yep.
Just keep that in mind with traffic and stuff. It's going to be pretty packed out there.
Yes. And also a lot of flying because we'll start flying in the week of, but they do have to practice. So just so everyone's tracking, like, there's going to be a lot of jet noise.
Even if you don't see it, you're definitely going to hear it.
Yes. Yeah. Also going to the air show is Lightning Within 5. So we will be there. I don't think it's going to be live, but we will definitely get it to you as soon as possible. And I will be working alongside the one of the members of the Navy PA team. His name is Zachary Harris. I'm very excited. He's so funny. Yep. And he's awesome at his job. So I'm really excited to work with him. And we'll be talking to the air crews, and we'll be talking to people watching the air show. Mm-hmm. So it should be a good episode.
Yeah.
And if you are at the air show and you see myself or Naeem or anybody involved in Lightning Within 5, just stop them and say what's up or take a picture with us and post it on social and tag us. That would be great.
I get stopped enough already, so, you know.
Oh, Mr. Famous Photographer. Today's very special guest is probably one of my favorite leaders. He is the commander of NSA Panama City, which is the naval station that's across the water from us. And his name is Captain Michael Mosey. He is such an inspirational speaker. I love going to any event where this man speaks. Like, he just, I don't know how to explain it. Like, he just like sparks something in you that's like, yeah, we're gonna go do great things today.
Yeah, very excited to meet him. Never really interacted with him before, but I've heard great things. And I know he's really involved with the community and getting the aspect of the joint partnership between Air Force and Navy, especially just in Panama City, seeing how we work together and just picking his mind about, you know, the Navy aspects that are different than mm-hmm. how we work as the Air Force.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be cool to see.
Yeah, I think he'll also give a lot of good leadership tidbits. He is on his way out. He's doing his change of command mm-hmm. and sad day, but yep. I personally have worked with him and his, you know, PA team several times on different events, and just every time is great. And they're always so welcoming. I've gone over to NSA for their 4th of July ceremony mm-hmm. and Captain Mosey will always stop and say hello. If he knows you, has seen you before, he will stop, say hello, ask you how you're doing, and he is genuinely interested, which is a rare quality in leaders, I think. So this episode should be pretty interesting, and I hope it's going to be inspirational for somebody out there. I know this man always speaks something that mm-hmm. inspires somebody to do something great. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
After this break.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website, tyndall.af.mil.
Welcome back, everybody. We have our very special guest from across the water. He is the commander of NSA Panama City, Captain now, Michael Mosey, also known as Kong. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so very much. I am excited to be here.
I'm so excited for you to be here because I love listening to you speak in public.
You're too kind to me, I tell you.
Seriously, everybody is so entranced by your words when you speak. I love it. So when you retire, you need to be like a public speaker of some sort.
I keep that in my role. Things to do.
All right, sir, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk more about your installation.
Absolutely. So, as mentioned before, my name is Michael Mosey. Just recently promoted to the rank of captain. So in the Air Force, of course, that's colonel. Super excited about that. Wasn't looking for it, but here we are. I am a first-generation American. Parents from Ghana, West Africa. I was born here in Maryland. Okay. Back in, I would say, grew up a UN brat.
So okay.
We've heard about the military brat. My dad worked for the UN. And so we I've lived the nomadic lifestyle the entirety of my life.
Wow.
And so when they retired, or my parents retired, they retired back in Ghana, their homeland. And so I got to spend my formative years, like my adolescent years, mm-hmm. In Ghana. So I went to a boarding school over there. And when I turned 18, I got too big for my britches, asked my dad a question I shouldn't have. And he's like, yeah, time to go fend for yourself. So I got that one-way ticket back to my country, the United States. And shortly after getting here, I joined the military. So I was working for Sports Authority.
Okay.
Selling sporting equipment. And a Marine recruiter walks in and asks me, what are you doing with yourself? He gave me his card and told me, you know, meet him. I think it was like the following week or so. And we met. We went over to the recruiting station. He learned me all he could about the Marine Corps. And I was interested. I was hooked. I was interested in that whole idea of, there's going to be a service that, you know, can pay for the military, you know, pay for education, and I'm going to get some experience as well. But then my dad was a doctor. My mom was a nurse, the medical field, you know, and traditionally in African homes, kids grow up to be what their parents are. So, so I was like, okay, Marine Corps doesn't have anything that's medical related. The Navy does. Navy had the corpsman rating. They supported the Marines as well. So it's like, okay, let me go talk to the Navy. I talked to the Navy, and sure enough, they had the corpsman rating, which perked my interest. It's like, yeah, I can do this, you know. Not only do I have the opportunity to get college paid for by way of an ROTC scholarship, but then if I fell within top 10% of my class, I'd have the opportunity to go to medical school, Bethesda. Ooh. So it's like, oh, sign me up yesterday.
Yeah. You know?
And that's where the problem came. So signing up yesterday, there wasn't an available spot for a corpsman until months later. I think it was like almost a year later. So I was like, no, I want the school sooner than that. So I joined as an Ocean Systems Tech Analyst, and that's an OTA.
Okay.
And what the job did is track submarines from shore commands, essentially.
Okay.
I chose that rating because it was very unique. There were only 3,000 sailors Navy-wide that were that rating. And it's like, you know, this is something unique. I can go do this. And turns out that I had a knack for it. I had a natural ability just to be able to read the grams and, you know, tell what was going on. So it turned out really well. First duty station was out in Broughty, Wales. Absolutely lovely time. You know, probably the best 2 years in my life, because at that point I'd always been sheltered. I'd worked, you know, from home, and I'd never been on my own. So now here I am in the military, in a foreign country, making my own money, plenty of opportunity to tour, good at my job as well. So life was great, you know.
That's amazing. Yeah.
While I was there, I applied for the ROTC scholarship, got picked up for a program called Broaden Opportunity for Officer Selection and Training, BOOST. And then my journey started. So college, University of Florida, and then from there I went aviation. Went through flight school. I started in Pensacola, and then moved on and graduated. I got my wings in Randolph Air Force Base, actually.
Interesting. In San Antonio. Okay. Yeah.
The rest is history. You know, I've grown grown through the ranks since then. So
yeah, now you're here, and you're the number one guy of NSA Panama City.
That's correct.
So you are the Colonel Berchtold of NSA PC. So what does that look like for you? We know we've heard from Colonel B what his perspective is, but we want to know what that means to you.
So the easiest way I'm able to explain that to friends that are not military affiliated is that I'm the landlord of the installation.
Right? Yes.
And so when it comes to facilities, making sure that the buildings are not leaking and that they have proper AC in the system, you know, the buildings and all that, that's me. Additionally, the conditions of the insulation, right? So the roads, the environment, and then also, you know, utilities and all that. And then additionally, there's the security component to it, right? So we've got to keep the bad actors out. So that's also another thing. So the short version of it is security. So force protection, anti-terrorism, keeping the bad guys out. That's one. And then two, it's keeping the lights on and making sure that the buildings are not leaking. Now, that's sort of like the ground truth of what I do.
Right.
So writ large, you know, in a long about way, that's what we do, is we just provide services to be able to give the warfighter the opportunity to focus specifically on warfighting.
All right, sir. So I'm just going to move it back a little bit. You explained how you you were moving back and forth growing up from, like, Ghana, United States, and your parents were, like, UN. So you were, like, a UN brat. When you moved back to the States and you had to like provide for yourself and keep yourself motivated, how do you think that affected your leadership style and, you know, seeing young troops? How does that like help you motivate young troops and stuff?
The experience. So growing up, I grew up a little sheltered compared to most, right? So straight from the home environment, at the age of 13, I was thrust into a boarding school.
Yes, sir.
And at the boarding school, you're essentially on your own, you know, with your classmates, your seniors, and then, of course, we've got, like, house masters and stuff like that. So you're essentially living on your own at that age. And so you develop some skill sets pretty early without having the normal guardrails of your parents right there. And then I think the added benefit of that kind of environment is that you get mentorship from so many backgrounds, right? Not just your core nucleus family, but then from all the students that are there and then all the different chaperones and instructors and teachers. And so you're getting so much just mentorship and different perspectives at an early age. Yeah. And that builds, you know, it gives you a deep toolbox, right? So where if you grew up in just a nucleus family, you'd have just a tool set that was available to you by your family members. Now you have tools that are coming in from all walks of life, essentially. So I think that that really, one, gave me different ways to look at things, different perspectives. And then two, to really appreciate the value of other people. You know, of everybody, you know, not just people that just look like you or that came from your neck of the woods or, you know, it's just everybody poured into you. And so you get the opportunity to really see the value in everybody. And so when you talk about how does that help me as a leader, it helps me to really value every single body I come across, knowing that they come with a fingerprint that's unique to this world and it's going to contribute towards a greater mission. Sure. I come with my set of values and there's only so much I can do. But then everybody else comes with their piece of the pie, you know, and the next thing you know, you've got a beautiful American pie. I mean, apple pie, right? Or, you know, puzzle pieces. So you akin to a puzzle, right? So I'm one puzzle piece and everybody else is a puzzle piece. And together we form a picture, a complete picture, you know? And so...
I love that.
Yeah, just that has just been amazing. That. You know, it's finding the value in every single body that you come across and seeing what they can contribute. You know, my definition of leadership is being able to recognize and inspire greatness from everyone I encounter. They come with their set of skills, and it's my job to understand what that set of skills are.
Yeah.
And then promote their confidence in that set of skill sets and arm them with the tools and the ability to really showcase what they bring to the table. You know, and so.
See, look, like, I'm ready to go fight a war right now. Like, that is some motivational stuff.
In essence, that really, like, almost summarizes, like, the greatest military in the world because we all come from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
That's one of the most beautiful parts about our military.
Absolutely.
And we use, you know, every single piece of each background to grow stronger together. I think that was pretty cool to hear.
So. Very true. So.
Yeah.
Man, you're such a good leader.
too kind.
But you could tell that, like, when you are interacting, just as an example, like, when he's at First Friday night, people flock to him like magnets. And you can tell, like, when you're having a conversation with the leader who is genuinely interested in knowing more about you and what you do, like, that is a good leader who's willing to spend the time to get to know somebody because they know that your worth is going to contribute in some way, shape, or form. And you do that across the entire community. I've seen it firsthand.
Thank you so much.
I love that about you so much. Yeah. I'm going to be so sad when you're gone. But that's another topic. You are leaving us shortly, right?
I am.
What do you think is one of the most impactful projects that you've accomplished while you've been at NSAPC?
Oh, let's see. One that I'm especially proud of is the complete renovation of our galley on the installation.
Oh, okay.
So when I checked on board, the galley served excellent food. But the facility itself had not been renovated in quite a while. We had some measures on there that I understand when they built the building were necessary. So we had like carpets on the wall. When the building was designed, it was designed for natural lighting. And so they we have a whole bunch of window skylights in there. But then we live in Florida. And so on any given day, you know, you're going through all the seasons, right?
Yes.
So overcast days. And then, of course, we've got natural vegetation on the insulation. So we've got trees all around it, which provide beautiful shade from the sun.
Yeah,
but yet keep it dark inside of the facility. So it was a little, you know, dingy and just not quite pleasant. And so I was like, this is something that I'm going to make a difference on. So decided that we're going to provide an environment for the patrons, the sailors, and everyone that gets to use the facility to walk into a place that's going to liven them up. You know, you walk in, it's bright, it's beautiful, no carpet on the walls. The environment is welcoming, you know. It's a place where you get to take a break from the grind of what you're doing. You know, we have the dive school students specifically that go through a very difficult curriculum.
Yes.
I mean, it is amazing. They're up at, you know, dark 30 in the morning, running the roads, and then partially through the day, they're inside of a classroom setting, and then they're back in the water, you know, physically exerting themselves, and and just intense environment. And so what better way than to, when you're eating, have an environment that relaxes you and gives you the opportunity to just take a break away from your daily grind. And that was just so much value. That was so important to me. You know, this is a big philosophy of mine. So if we talk about what do I think about the military and what's important, how do I enjoy what I do? You know, the technical aspect of what I do in the military, being an aviator and, you know, being in the plane, I absolutely love that. Wouldn't give that for any, give that up for anything.
Right.
But more importantly to me is none of that happens without the people.
Absolutely.
You know? So I think in the Navy specifically, we're moving in a direction that I think has been the most important part, and that is people-centric, right? The mission will always be there, but how resilient are the people that are going to do the mission, right? We've got to take care of that resource. We always talk about, you know, the, your human capital is the most important part, but do we put our money where our mouth is?
Yeah.
Right? And so what better way than to literally do that.
Yeah.
Put the money where the mouth is, right?
In
the
galley,
no pun intended. But
yes.
That was going.
Yeah. So
that also like throws me back to basic training. Like eating was the highlight of my day.
Yes.
So
yes. I remember my days at boot camp too. Absolutely.
Like I still would have been happy if it was dark and dingy, but like having what you said, like a relaxing environment, that would have made it so much better.
Absolutely.
Basic training kind of felt like a prison.
Yes.
But it's fine. You know, it still brought us joy. The food was still good.
Yes.
I will say I went to tech school at Fort Meade and we had Navy chefs there and they made the
It was way better.
Well, thank
Are
you.
Are we favoring the Navy today? What's
Senior
happening?
Airman Naeem just said, Fort Meade defect.
They absolutely have better food than the Army guys made. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So we thank you for that.
No, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
So do you still get to fly as much?
I do not.
Oh, does that hurt your heart?
It does, but then there's always the private avenue of, you know, private aviation. So,
Okay.
Yes, yes.
So as you move on to your next assignment, are you going to get to fly or you're more of like the behind the scenes boss now?
So I get to fly, but not flying military aircraft. I get to travel a lot. So my next duty station is going to be up in Norfolk, Virginia, U.S. Fleet Forces. I'll be part of the component that deals with the anti-terrorism force protection of installations.
So cool.
So I'll be going around all the installations, CONUS, and doing what's called a higher headquarters operational assessment.
Okay.
So the installations are charged with making sure that they can police their own, they can train their own, and they can indeed fight the base and make sure that the base is secure. I, as a U.S. Fleet Forces component, will come in and say, yes, indeed, you've proven that you can do that, and therefore you're certified to operate
I see.
On your own.
Gotcha. So, like our inspection teams.
Yes, pretty much. Exactly. Yeah. It's an assessor. Okay. And I'm super excited at this at the opportunity. You know, I've been now in the CNIC Enterprise, so Commander Navy Installations Command Enterprise now for 8 years, going on 9 years.
Oh, gotcha.
And I think I have a perspective from the ground that lends to, okay, how are we looking at this from a different perspective, and what can I do to aid?
Right.
And then also now the ability to go around and see all the different installations will just open up my horizons. Once again, like how I talk about, you know, just different perspectives, seeing different environments, seeing the challenges that are presented in a different areas, you know, what's a threat over here may not necessarily be a threat, say, you know, in Washington, you know, Whidbey Island, or say in Maine, or in San Diego, California. So just the opportunity to go around and see all the installations, see the challenges that are presented by them, and then come back and then say, okay, how do our instructions apply to this? You know, do we need to update certain things? Is cookie cutter the right answer, or do we have to really focus on, well, certain areas are going to need unique sets of rules. And if that's the case, am I the one that's going to come up with the rule sets for that, or am I going to allow the installation to come up with the best way to defend themselves, since they're there? You know, and
makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm curious, and I'm excited at the opportunity to go do some learning and
all the people you get to meet doing that.
100%.
Yeah.
Thank you for keying in on that,
because,
you know, my heart, like I said, there's a technical part of doing the job, and that's, you know, in the plane and all that. But then my heart exists with just interaction, dealing with people, learning as much as I possibly can, and sharing all the different perspectives that I have as well. So for me, people first, and the ability to really build a Rolodex and be a connector, you know, is key. So I'm looking forward to that.
I mean, based off the past 30 minutes of this podcast, I think you'll do a great job, sir.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. High praise there. I appreciate it.
With you heading out soon to Norfolk, sir, what do you see, or what do you envision for the future of NSA Panama City?
Oh, the trajectory is just, it's going to be a steep, wonderful climb. The installation, and I can talk knowledgeably about the individuals that I know, right? So
yes,
I obviously took over the base from somebody else. His name was Captain Keith Foster. His command philosophy was just care. I mean, awesome is that?
Yeah, I love that.
Just care about everything you do. Just have a personal connection to it and care. And so I didn't have to do that when I came on board. The installation already had that foundation. They cared about one another. They cared about the fact that their fingerprint on what they did mattered.
Yeah. Right?
And so I came in with, in accordance with, like I said. So and for me, the building on that foundation of just care was empowering everyone to believe in the fact that they do indeed own there are different areas of expertise.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're there now as an installation. Everyone is empowered. They know that this is my realm. I'm the highest ranking person in this position over here, and I'm going to execute my duties to the max extent possible. So we're running on that. People believe in what they're doing. They believe in themselves. They're running the mission the best way they know how. Which is better than I ever can do on my own. You know, no micromanagement on my part. It's all about empowerment and breaking down barriers for them. So the installation is poised, ready to really execute their different mission tasks and functions, right? My relief, who I've spent the last 3 weeks, almost a month with, comes in with about the same amount of experience I did when I came in. So he's not new to Navy Commander. To Commander Navy Installations Command. He has the knowledge base. He knows all the acronyms. He knows all the different departments. He knows their functions. And he comes in with a strong prowess of administrative acumen, right? And so where we've been able to empower ourselves and understand what it is we're supposed to do, and we're running with what we have, we've come across where hey, some things are just archaic. We need to change those things.
Yeah.
And he comes with that prowess.
That's good.
You see, yes. So he's going to be able to say, hey, okay, I see what this instruction is. I see where you're going, where you want to go with this, and let's go ahead and implement this.
Yeah.
Additionally, he comes with the ability to really account. So data, he's very data driven. And so one of the things that, you know, institutions suffer from, right, is resourcing. Right.
Yeah.
How do you fight for resources?
Mm-hmm.
You fight for resources by providing data, stating that, hey, there is a gap in what I need. Here's the gap. Here's the data that shows that I have a gap. Mm-hmm. And so I need that resource. And so he has the language for that. He also has foresight. This past couple of years, we've had very good recruitment into the military service,
right?
So we've not only met our numbers, but then exceeded those numbers. And so there's potential growth at each of the, you know, installations that provide services. So here at NSA Panama City, where we have the dive school, that's going to be an influx of additional students.
Yeah.
Do we have the resources to support those students? Do we have the unaccompanied housing? Is our galley going to be adequate? Do we have the morale, welfare, recreation? How are we influencing or adjoining and partnering with the community to support this extra influx that's coming in?
Yeah.
You're at Tyndall. You're experiencing that right now.
Absolutely.
You know,
we
with
are.
The addition of three squadrons coming on board, right? So you all just had the first one, not only the military members, but then their family members.
Mm-hmm.
If they come with professions, hey, our profession is going to be supported. Do we have a workforce, a vacancy that we can actually fill? So housing, is there affordable housing, you know, and all that. So that's the mindset that he's coming in with as well, is, hey, how do I posture this installation to be able to accept the potential growth that's coming? You know, and so
love that
he has a vision for it. I am absolutely confident that he's going to take care of this installation and put skyscrapers where we have a very firm foundation.
I can't wait to meet him. I'm sure you talking him up means leaps and bounds.
Yes,
so I am excited to meet him.
Outstanding. Brilliant man. Also, you know, we have a similar background. So we were both prior enlisted. We both enlisted right around about the same time frame, 1993.
Mm-hmm.
We both got commissioned as officers the same year, 2021.
That's so crazy.
2001.
Yeah.
You know, the place where we differ is that he went surface warfare, so he's a ship driver by trade, and I'm in aviation. So, but that's good because that's a different perspective. That's a different viewpoint that, you know, the installation needs.
Absolutely.
And that's the beauty of just change and turnover in the military, is that one person comes in, sets the foundation, and then the next person comes in and says, hey, thank you for setting this foundation. I got it from here. I'm going to take it this next.
So it's funny that you brought up housing, because you are a very big advocate for community engagement.
100%.
And bettering the lives. And you have spoken to the chamber and everybody else about, like, some of the struggles that we're facing here in Panama City, such as, like, childcare for our warfighters and housing, adequate, cost-effective housing, if you will.
Yes.
So what's your favorite part about the community around here?
You know, having served as many places as I have, and I don't believe that it's just the fact that I'm commanding officer that gives me this perspective. I think that almost anyone that I've talked to on the installation, be it, you know, a student all the way through being, you know, individuals that have been here for quite a while that serve on the installation, they not only hear that the community supports the military, they see it.
Yeah.
They feel it.
Yep, you absolutely.
Know, it's not just words, it's action.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what better way to express that we support the military than changing the name of the road in front of the installation?
Which just happened to you, right?
It did.
Yeah.
You know, I happened to be the fortunate one. I'll keep a little bit. We may have put the installation on the map, but yes. We'll take a little bit of credit for that. But, you know, that's the beauty of it, is Thomas Drive had been there for, I mean, the installation has been there for 45 years, 46 years now, you know, and it's been Thomas Drive the whole time. And so think about all the businesses and addresses that were on Thomas Drive that had to change.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
To Navy, and they decided that yes, this is worth it. We're going to do that.
Aww.
We're going to show the military how much we. So yes,
It's
no longer just Tyndall Drive. Now there's Navy Boulevard as well.
Yes,
and that's their pride and the military, the collective military. You know, it's the Air Force, it's the Navy, it's the Coast Guard, you know, that have a footprint over here right now. And we're all inclusive, you know.
Yeah, they're even building a bridge because of the Coast Guards, right?
Yes,
like,
yes.
They need the Coasties to be able to get back and forth. Bus. So, yeah.
You know, and now, you know, just I think it was last year or the year before last, we're recognized as a Coast Guard community as well. You know? Think about the schools, you know.
Yeah.
These military children, my children, right? Mm-hmm. They travel from location to location. And everywhere they go, they've got to assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
Got to start over again, right?
Yes.
We're a purple school district.
Yes.
That's just the effort that the community has done. They're like, you know what? We recognize that these children are unique.
Mm-hmm.
They come with unique skill sets, and we've got to understand them first and foremost, and then secondly, provide services the best way we can to enhance their ability to succeed, you know?
Absolutely. They even have clubs, like at Tyndall Academy, they have Anchored for Life, I believe it's called.
Yes.
And it's literally just military kids. They can vent to each other. They can do activities together, but it's like they have their own camaraderie because they can relate to one another.
Yes.
I think that is such a beautiful thing for the younger generation that is going through all the military changes.
Yeah.
I know my kids struggled, so I know everybody else's kids struggle at some point in time.
Absolutely. You know, and then you talk about the population on the installation at large. I mean, we can only house X amount of people on the base. Where are the rest of them living?
Right.
In the community.
Yes.
Right? And so we are the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
You pick whatever the population is here on Tyndall, and then you add the population. That's a good part of what the community is.
Absolutely.
Those fence lines that we have that are around the installations, I call them an invisible fence line when it comes to the community.
Yeah.
We are part and parcel of the community.
Yeah.
We play in the community. We live in the community. We feed in the community. We do everything in the community.
Yes.
Safety begins in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I talked about, you know, everyone comes to work wanting to do the best they can. It's the things that happen outside of the fence line that prevents them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the community.
Yeah.
So if the community rallies around and supports the military, then, you know, we're as formidable as comes, you know, and being true war fighters and defending, you know, national defense. So that's what we do. And that's what the community is. So I always tell the community, you all are the first line of defense for this nation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the installations are the foundry and sort of like the launching place, nothing happens out overseas without an installation.
Mm-hmm.
Ships are launched from installations. Aircraft are launched from installations. People deploy from installations, right?
Yeah.
So too does the installation need the community around it to be able to perform its functions. We get our electricity from the community. We get our water from the community, you know. So it's integral. We're tied.
Yeah.
We're one and one. Just understanding that and then being able to utilize the resources across the board, you know. If I have to do something inside the installation, say, I don't know, dredge my shoreline, right? And I have to go get a company to come do that, I have to pay for them to get mobilized, right? And then it's a small portion of land that needs dredging. So, hey, the price goes up.
Mm-hmm.
But if the community does dredging anyways, they're doing large areas of shoreline that needs dredging, guess what? I don't have to mobilize them.
Yeah.
They're coming in, their resources are being paid for in the whole nine yards. So if I partner with the community through an intergovernmental service agreement, now I just pay for the portion of the work that's going to be done on the installation. That's resources that we're getting, you know, from the community. And it's just symbiotic. We're tied at the hip. Whether we like it or not, we're tied at the hip.
Absolutely.
So we might as well get the best of it, you know. And Panama City, Bay County has done exactly that. Even to the extent that they're uniting different branches.
Yeah.
Right? You know, where there's the healthy, you know, competition between Air Force and Navy and all that. We go to the MAC events, Military Affairs Committee events. That's both the Air Force, the Navy, the Coast Guard, intertwined and mingling, getting to know one another, getting to know our likenesses and seeing where it is that we have gaps and seeing how we can support one another.
Yeah.
You know, it's just beautiful. So Bay County and the vision I have for Bay County flat out is being an example. So there's symposiums that happen every year. I envision Bay County as being an example that can be cookie cutter taken and replicated across the U.S. You know, other communities rally around the military just like Bay County does. And so
I love that.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
I love working with you guys. I think it gets us out of our Air Force box, right? Mm-hmm. But it also shows everybody we should be working together. 100%. Because wonderful things happen when we work together in the different branches.
Yeah, and as leaders, we have to recognize that no part of what anyone does is too small.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if it didn't need to be done, there wouldn't be a position for it.
Right. That's very true.
Right. And so you talk about, you know, we experience it. Not all the billets are filled. There are some gapped positions. And think about the pressure that adds to you, right? Yeah. And so everybody's part matters, you know, and it's a critical part of, I mean, a meal. You want fried eggs, right? Okay, so you know, everyone knows what fried eggs taste like, right? Yeah. So you got fried egg, no salt in it. That's an ingredient, right? Right. How small is salt, though? Like physically, like you just do a little pinch of salt, right?
Yeah.
For an egg, two eggs, right?
Makes all the difference.
Makes all the difference. That's how important every single person is.
Yeah.
In this fight we call national security. Everybody plays a part. The community, the services, you name it. Every part of us, no matter how small, all contribute to making that tasty egg we eat at the end of the day. And that's our security.
I love that. Gosh darn it, sir.
I feel like we should get a quote board just out of this podcast.
It's so rare that I am left like with no words, but like I'm in this moment right now. And we didn't even stay on script at all.
No, we did not.
Sorry, Zach.
That's good.
No, but it's even better when it's like a natural conversation.
Yeah, no,
I
love it.
You gotta see the personality of leadership, and I think that's what's most beneficial to people like me, younger airmen or younger troops.
Yeah.
I think just getting to see leaders from being them actual selves and understand everybody's still a human, it just adds a lot.
Yes. Remember, I started where you were.
Yes, sir.
I started as an E1.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am today, a captain of the United States Navy.
Yes, sir.
I love that.
We all, every single one of us matters. Yep. Every single one of us.
And do
we
you bring plan on going like, how long do you plan on going?
I'm going to go for as long as I'm viable. So for as long as I have a purpose, for as long as I'm not hindering progress and I'm not stopping someone from achieving something, then yes, you know, why not?
What is the highest rank in the Navy?
O-10, so Admiral.
Full Admiral, 4-star. Sincerely hope and pray for the day that you become Admiral of the Navy.
I'm glad you said pray. Because if it is his will, then I'm all for it. If it's not his will, then I'm for what his will is.
Right? I think the Navy would be such an amazing place if you were in charge of it. No offense to anybody else, but like you bring the compassion, the empathy, the understanding, but you are also insanely intelligent and you know the Navy world. And you're also a big guy. Like, I would be scared of you if I walked in a room.
I have to walk out of that door. Watch your praise. My head's getting bigger by the second. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And I genuinely mean all this. Like, I'm not trying to kiss up or anything, but it's just from all the interactions. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed working with you all these years. What do you think would be your final message for all of your warfighters at NSA?
That's a good one. Continue being themselves, right? So you've got to be your authentic self to add to national security. Mm-hmm. Remember how I talked about the ingredient salt?
Mm-hmm.
If you are salt and you choose to go be pepper, you're not adding to the greater collective, right?
Of that analogy.
So be authentically yourself. But be like water. Conform to the environment in which you are, right? So there is a time to be a warfighter, and that's out and presenting that formidable posture to the enemy. When they see you, they need to be scared down to their core because they see a warfighter in front of them.
Yeah.
But when you're at home, be your authentic self. Be dad, be brother, be sister, be fellow you know, service member.
Be nerdy.
Yes.
Yes.
It's all a part of it because it's who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we need. That's what I want to express to everyone on the installation. Continue to be authentically yourselves because who you are is exactly what we need, right?
Yeah.
You are what we need. It's up to us to make sure that we find that magic that you bring and add it to the recipe that you know ends up being national security, you know. So
all right, again, sir, thank you so very much for stopping by and talking to us. We can't wait to meet your replacement, and we wish you nothing but the best on your voyage to Norfolk.
Thank you so very much for having me. Thank you for encouraging me and empowering me to be my authentic self. And I can't wait for you to meet the greatness that is my replacement. His name's Commander Tristan Oliveira.